speak with you. I've always loved this congregation, and I really look forward to seeing all of you again. I don't know how well this lesson is going to go. I appreciate Sid praying for me because I wasn't sitting in my regular pew this morning, so I don't know how it's going to go, but we'll do the best we can. But it is good to see all of you again. Several of you asked me about Elaine. She's just about the same. She is in memory care center at Belfair in Shawnee, and her dementia has worsened. That's a horrible disease, I'll tell you. I don't know. I thought a lot about this. I don't know if it's better for your mind to go first or your body to go first. They're both bad. Maybe if they go at the same time, that's the best thing. I don't know. But we do have hospice in helping take care of her over there. And some days she knows me and some days she doesn't. And I can't really carry on a conversation with her anymore. Even if I ask her just a question, she doesn't really respond to me. So it's a sad thing. But she's well taken care of, and we're blessed in that regard. So we're thankful for that. Appreciate R. Polk asking me to come and fill in for him today. I always look forward to being here. I want to ask you a riddle this morning to start with. What is it that everyone wants and yet is one of the most elusive things known to man? What is it that everybody wants, but it's one of the most elusive things known to man? And the answer is happiness. Happiness. Why is happiness so hard for human beings to find? We all want it. We all seek it. And we seek it in different ways. But we all want to be happy. And yet, it's one of the hardest things to find. I think maybe it's because men are trying so hard to find it. And men don't find it by seeking it, though they seek it constantly. That's kind of a riddle in itself, isn't it? Men don't find happiness by looking for it. And yet we seek it constantly. So how then can we find it? This all may sound very odd. I realize that. But it's true. Did you know that the Bible gives us the true formula for finding real happiness? True happiness. What did Solomon say was his conclusion after looking at everything? What was his conclusion? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's it. Fear God and keep His commandments. And the Bible goes on to teach us that when one seeks first the kingdom of God, happiness is a result. Wow, most people don't know that. Most people never thought about that. Many, many people are at home today. If you drove down the highway here into town, you'd see people's cars in their driveways. They're sleeping in late, or they're down at the lake or out on the golf course, but they're somewhere besides worshiping God. They're not putting God first, but they're still seeking happiness. That's why they're out there with a fishing pole in their hand this morning, or why they've got a golf club in their hand this morning, or whatever they're doing, or laying in bed. They're seeking happiness, but they don't know where to find it. Not real happiness, not true happiness. So happiness, you're not going to find it by seeking it, by looking for it in all of these different places, but by seeking something else. And it comes as a byproduct. Not the main product, but a byproduct of something else. It's not by asking, what do I want? Now, that's what most people do. They ask, what do I want? I'm number one. I'm the most important here, so what do I want? It's found rather by looking outward, not inward, as most people think, and as most people do. Seeking to please God and to serve others. Looking outward, seeking to please God first of all, and also by helping others. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what he taught over and over again while he was on this earth? If you'll read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that's exactly what he said and exactly what he sought, and it's exactly what he did. God came first. And he served others. You know, as he went about the villages healing people and teaching people, he had to be exhausted. That night that he fell asleep in the boat and the storm came up and he was out, his body had to be exhausted. But what was he doing? He was putting God first. He was teaching about God, his Father. And he healed people. And there's several scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell us that he healed everybody that came out to him from the villages. He healed them all. He didn't cut it off and say, well, that's enough. I'm tired. The rest of you just going to have to do the best you can. He healed them all. And he was exhausted physically. So Jesus embodied exactly what he said. One of the reasons that man has difficulty in finding happiness is because it will never be found in the way most people are looking for it. Remember that. It'll never be found in the way that most people are looking for it. That's very, very closely related to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Listen to what he said. Enter by the narrow gate. The narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many that go in by it. Most people are following the wrong way. Most of them are going to be lost because of it. Most of them are not going to find happiness because of that. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are they that go therein. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to what? Life. It's difficult. Narrow, and there are few who find it. Few who find it. This auditorium should be full this morning. It really should be. There should be more people, and I'm thankful that you're here because it shows that you're following what Jesus said. So I'm thankful that you're here. But don't you wish there were more here? Don't you wish that every one of these pews was crammed full and we had to put chairs in the back? It ought to be that way. If people were seeking God and putting Him first and helping others, they're going to find happiness. They really are. But most people are looking in the wrong place. So let's quickly look at three ingredients of happiness, and maybe this will help us all. Number one, the very first ingredient of happiness is having something to do. God created us that way. Having something to do. People are happy when they're busy. People are happy when they're working. Now, they may be happy working in their job. They may be happy working in their yard. They may be happy working on their house, but they're happy when they're doing something worthwhile. Maybe they're helping a neighbor, because we're designed by God to work, to be doing things that are worthwhile. And if we aren't, we're miserable. When we have nothing to do, we're miserable. I know somebody's going to say, well, I'd sure like to try it for a little bit. But we really are. We've got to be doing something that's worthwhile. Have you ever heard people say, boy, I wish I had more time off, or shorter hours, or more vacation time? But you let that man get sick and has to lay around for a period of time and can't go to work, he's ready to go back to work. His wife is ready for him to go back to work. We're designed to work. We're designed to do things that are worthwhile. And this may burst some people's bubble, but there's no shortcut to success and happiness. They come by working. The happiest people in the world are busy doing something, and doing something that's worthwhile, that helps other people. It's good to make people happy. The other day, my two little grandsons, one's in kindergarten and one's in first grade, one's in pre-kindergarten, the other in first grade, and they had to be taken to the emergency room because they both had an infection. They had to get some medicine for them. And they left Sissy, who's a little two-year-old granddaughter, at my house. But my 14-year-old granddaughter was there, and so she kept Sissy. And the boys had been wanting me to make them some wooden guns out in my wood shop. So while Macy was watching Sissy, well, I went out to the workshop on the bandsaw. I cut out two long rifles for them. So when they came back from the emergency room, I took those rifles out to them. And the oldest one said, "This is the best thing I've ever had." Now, I could have gone to Walmart and bought a Nerf gun that shoots 25 Nerf shots, one right after the other, and they wouldn't have been as excited as they were about those wooden guns. It took me about 10 minutes to cut those out, and they were tickled to death with those guns. They just thought that was wonderful. They were so excited. Well, it made me feel good because they were so excited, and because I'd done something that they had wanted me to do for a while, and I just hadn't gotten around to doing it. And I thought, well, this will be a good time. But isn't it good to do something for somebody that makes them feel good, makes them feel better? We had a lady in the congregation at one of the places where I preached that took soup to people when they'd get sick. She was a good soup maker too. And she'd take them soup, and people just appreciated her so much. We had another lady in the congregation that sent cards to everybody. If you got sick, you got a card. If you had a birthday, you got a card. If you had an anniversary, you got a card from her. She was known as a card lady in the congregation. She couldn't get out and do a lot herself, but she sent cards to everybody. And everybody just loved her for it. Well remembered for that. And here's another oddity. Happiness does not come from doing just what we want to do. Now, most people seem to think if they had all the money that they wanted, that they could be happy, they could do anything they want, but they wouldn't. Why? Because happiness doesn't come that way. Solomon tried it. He had everything that he needed to try it, and he tried everything. And he came to the conclusion it's all a striving after wind. So if people had all the money wanted, bought all the things they wanted to buy, did all the things they wanted to do, at the very end, they're going to have to agree with Solomon. It's all a striving after wind. Doesn't really make you happy in the end. So we can be miserable or we can be happy. But we have to go by God's rules if we're going to be happy. It's good to be working, isn't it? However, it has to be working within God's will if we're going to be happy. That's where we find the most satisfaction. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Those that obey this great command of Jesus find real happiness and satisfaction. There's no greater work on the face of this earth than that right there. Have you ever done it? Have you ever tried it? To teach somebody the gospel, see them obey the gospel, that's the greatest happiness you'll ever find in this world. Is to teach somebody the truth of the gospel and see them obey the gospel. That's the greatest feeling in the world. So, if you want to be happy, number one is to have something to do that's worthwhile. Ingredient number two is needing someone to love. Needing someone to love. God has also designed us to be emotional creatures. And we realize that. We have to be someone that's lovable, and we have to have those who we do love. Otherwise, the world is a very, very lonely place. We have to be concerned about other people, not just ourselves. People that are self-centered and concerned only about themselves, they're miserable people. Christianity shows us the right kind of love that truly makes people happy. We love our Creator first. That's number one. We love our God. We love our Creator. He comes first. He's number one. Why? Because He first loved us. Very simple, isn't it? He first loved us before we ever knew who He was. The kind of love that is promoted in Christianity includes loving our families, our relatives according to the flesh, and also our relatives according to the Spirit, those that are here this morning. So it goes on beyond our immediate family. We have relatives according to the Spirit. We love our neighbors. We love our fellow men, even our enemies. So love is the motivating factor of Christianity. You can't be a true Christian without love, and you can't really be ever be happy without true love. So we've got to love one another, and I know some people are hard to love, but didn't Jesus love us all and give His life on the cross for every human being? So surely we can find something in everyone to love. And you can show them love, and that might really help them. That might be just exactly what they need. So the second factor to being happy is having someone to love. Now can you guess what the third one is? Something to hope for. People who love hope, or do not have hope, people who have lost hope, are people who sometimes commit suicide. They lose all hope. If we're truly going to be happy, we have to have something to hope for, look forward to. And the greatest thing is to have a hope beyond the grave. We know that we're all going to die. We all know that we're going to leave this world, but we all need hope beyond the grave. And you only find that in Christ. You won't find it anywhere else in this world. I don't care how hard you work or how hard you look, you won't find real happiness until you know that you're right in the sight of God and you can have eternal life. What kind of a servant have I been to Jesus? Now, He gave His life for me. He put it all on the line. And I cannot imagine how horrible crucifixion must be. I don't know why He had to die that way. But I think I understand it because the blood that ran down the cross and soaked into the ground had to be given for my sins. And so I'll never find real happiness until I know that my life is right with Christ and with God the Father, and that I've got an eternal home awaiting me when I leave this earth, and we all will. So what kind of a servant to Jesus have I been? So many people try to build their life without God. And it's a terrible thing because they have no hope. No hope. Many of these people have been envied by others that look up to them because of the externals. And I wonder what turmoil exists in the inner man of many of these folks. I remember the Golden Globe Awards came on TV, and I just happened to have it on that channel where it came on. I watched a little bit of it before I turned it to something else. Actors and actresses, how many of them have no hope beyond this life? No hope. This life is their reward. And when they die, it's gone. How the words of the Apostle Paul echo in 1 Corinthians 15:19. If we in this life only have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. And as I watched some of that, I thought how superficial that was. How superficial those awards are. It's only in this life. It's not going into eternity. And you know, people live their lives in a superficial way like that all the time, and they don't even realize what they're doing. Only in Christianity is there true hope. Only in Christ is there something to look forward to beyond the grave. This knowledge helps us withstand the strains and the challenges and the difficulties of this life. Jesus Christ came into this world to save you. You, personally. Take this personally because it's meant to be personal. He came to save you and me from our sins and to give us real hope. For God so loved the world. That's us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. You've probably heard that before, haven't you? But how true it is. We need to take it to heart. So what have we learned? That to be really happy, truly happy in this life, you must have something to do that's worthwhile. You must have someone to love and something to hope for beyond the grave. And only Christianity can supply those three things to their highest and most lasting degree. When I study with someone on a personal basis, I always start with John 10:10. Jesus said, "I came to give life, and to give it more abundantly." And I always ask, what does an abundant life mean to you? And I get all kinds of answers. Abundant life means a lot of things to a lot of different people. What does it mean to you? Ask yourself that question. Jesus came to give me an abundant life. What do I think an abundant life is? And as I watched that Golden Globe Award, a little bit of it, before I turned it off, those actors and actresses, that's their life. Their life has been fulfilled if they win one of those awards. But what is that really worth? Is that really an abundant life? True happiness comes only when we seek first the kingdom of God. And I mean first, before anything else. That comes first. That's number one if you really want to be happy. So the question this morning is, are you doing that? Are you doing that personally? Does that come first before everything else? This is where true happiness is really found. If you want to really be happy in this life, you're going to put the Lord first, because He loves you, and He loved you first before you ever loved Him. And He still loves you today, and He wants what's best for you. And He has prepared a home that is going to be beyond our wildest imagination. I don't think you and I have any idea what heaven's going to be like. I don't think we can even comprehend it. But I do know this, I want to go there. I want to be there. I want to see what it's like. And I want to be happy in this life. So we've looked at the ways to be happy in this life, and it all boils down to this. Put God number one in your life. That's the best thing you can do for your family. It's the best thing you can do for your loved ones. It's the best thing you can do for this congregation. It's the best thing you can do for your friends and neighbors. Let them see you are putting the Lord first in your life. So this morning, if you need to obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ like we're commanded to do, put Him on in baptism and become a faithful Christian. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. If you're the age of accountability before God. And if you have done that, but you've strayed from the fold, and you need to come back home, you need to get your life right with God, you can do that this morning. There's no reason for a single one of us to leave these doors out here unhappy. Every one of us can be happy this morning if we put God first. So if you're here and need to answer the invitation this morning, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.